Hey, good morning, everyone, and Happy New Year. I want to make sure I say that as well. Really good to see you today. What a beautiful rainy day we have. We're so blessed to have the rain. And it's always, you know, in Israel, when we go on trips there, they always tell us, they always look at rain as a sign of God's blessing. So, you know, just as Rachel was praying and we're receiving this beautiful rain today, let's just open our hearts to the blessing of the Lord as well. Really excited. This week, too, tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we're doing prayer, 7 o'clock, and we're doing fasting and prayer for 2019. Join us at 7 o'clock for worship and prayer on each of those nights, and encourage you to be praying on your own as well, and consider how you might fast during that time, something. Yeah, awesome. Some of us could use it, too. I'm not saying fast for the dietary purposes, but there are fringe benefits after the holidays. And we have a few other announcements we'll make sure we bring to your attention at the end of the service. But what I want to do this morning, you know, next Sunday is going to be Vision Sunday, really praying into that, looking forward to that. My heart's stirred for that. What I want to do today is speak a message that I feel like is going to bring some important things to remembrance. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1 that we are stirred up by way of remembrance. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will bring us to remembrance. Even this table at the end of the service, we do this in remembrance of the cross. There's something so powerful about remembering throughout Scripture. The Scripture tells us that we're to stir up the gift that is in us, and that happens really by remembering who we are. There's something powerful and supernatural that happens as we remember. And I would also say this, when we forget, there's some serious consequences as well. Probably most mistakes, bad choices, unhealthy decisions, sinful choices, those kinds of things happen because we've forgotten something about who we are and who He is. So this morning is going to be a message, I believe, of remembrance. But the way I want to lead into that is just to talk about some of these crazy Ancestry, 23andMe, Ancestry.com tests that have been happening over the last decade or so. There have been some big breakthroughs with, you know, DNA testing, and there's, you know, a lot of just different options to do that. But basically, these tests can tell you where your ancestors came from and how many living relatives you have that share your DNA are on the planet, if they also took the test. That's the one caveat. And what percentage of DNA they share with you. And let me just ask a question. How many of you have taken one of those tests? You've taken Ancestry.com or 23andMe? Just raise your hand high for a second. I want to see it. Okay. Did anybody discover anything amazing when they took the test? Yeah. Tim, that was awesome. I mean, just an incredible story over here, being reunited with his birth parents. Awesome story. Love those kinds of stories. I have some really good friends, church friends, and family members that have taken the test and made some amazing discoveries and connections in that process. And I got on the bandwagon with Rachel in December. We ordered 23andMe, and we took the test, and there weren't any real big surprises in there for me, except that at first it said that Glenn Kling was my half-brother, and Glenn Kling is Amy James's dad, but he's actually my dad's brother. So to make that less confusing for you, he's the youngest baby in my dad's siblings, and because his age is closer to mine than to his brothers and sisters, 23andMe automatically said, our algorithm says you guys are probably brothers, and we had a good laugh about it, so it wasn't a real surprise. It was just kind of funny. And, I found out that I have 1,065 living DNA relatives that also took the test. That's not even counting Ancestry.com. That's a whole nother deal. And I also found out Rachel is not one of those relatives. Praise the Lord. We weren't concerned, but it's just a nice confirmation. The one small surprise that I found was that I'm way less German than I thought. You can see my breakdown here. It says British and Irish 45.5%, French and German 27%, and then I didn't know that I had a little sliver of Italian in there. But that explains a few things. Some Scandinavian in there, and then it said 25% broadly Northwestern European, which basically means I'm a huge mix, and they don't know really where I came from those parts of Europe, but somewhere in there. And, you know, my uncle Glenn, I told you about, he actually has like a sliver of North African, like I have Italian. And I was hoping that somehow that would show with my DNA, like I'd be Moroccan or I would be like Native American or something exotic and fun. But it just came back, as you see there. So why are people taking this? I think there's a few reasons. People want to know their family origins and history. And this is in your notes now. People want to know their family story. It's important to know our family story. It's a good thing to know our family story. Sometimes we have parts of our family story. Probably all of us have parts of our family story that we look back on and go, man, I hope people don't find that part out. That's kind of like a sketchy part of our family story. But you know what? Even looking at the genealogies of Jesus, there's some parts of his family story that are could be categorized as sketchy. I mean, Rahab is in there. Bathsheba is in there. Ruth is in there. These are ancestors of Jesus on his mother's side that got woven into the story, and it shows you that even that God is able to make all things work together for good. He's so amazing like that. He's able to redeem our story. I love that. But people want to know where they've come from, and hopefully see some amazing people in their lineage as well. And people want to know, you know, another reason is that people want to know what they might have inherited in their genes. They want to see, you know, what's in their blood, so to speak. They want to see what's kind of in them by nature. If you go to the next slide, not just nurture, but by nature. And I think that starts to explain sometimes like what tendencies might be there simply because of DNA versus what's there because of upbringing or training or something environmental. What traits have I inherited? And, you know, maybe that answers some follow-up questions like, what's my purpose? What was I made for? You know, people want to know kind of what's in their DNA. You know, to take it out away from humans today and just talk about dogs for a second, there's amazing things about dogs that they just inherit and that it's bred into them. We have this dog who is mostly Australian Shepherd and she's never been trained. And you might see this with whatever dog you have. And I don't want to do a poll like who's dog people and who's cat people. I love all of you. Don't want to cause any divisions in the church this morning. But dogs are amazing, and like when I run an open space with my dog at times, and I haven't done this in a while because I haven't been up on Mount Burdell lately, but you can have your dog on voice control on fire roads in Novato off-leash, which is great because she likes to run, she likes to work out. But one time there were some cattle just free grazing up there, and my dog, who was off-leash under voice control, was no longer under my voice control, and she started barking in different tones I'd never heard. She exhibited all this weird behavior. She went over, started running in circles around the cattle, got them up, nipping their heels, and looking at me like I'd be proud of her, and working them toward me on the trail. And I'm like, I don't want them. And I'm thinking, the farmer's going to see this. The cows aren't going to be milked. Something's going to be wrong. I'm going to be in trouble. Ah! And she didn't know, like, why she was doing that. It was just in her. We rescued her as a pup from the Humane Society. She's never been around sheep or cows or anything. But something about the sense, it activated something inside of her, and all of a sudden she was like, this is what I was made for. And I think there's things like that in us as well. And, you know, people, they want to know who they're connected to. And more importantly, what I mean by that is I think people are taking these tests because they want to find out on some level, like, you know, where do I belong? Who's my tribe? Who are my people? They're seeking belonging. And, you know, bottom line, people want to know who they're connected to. They want to know who they are. It's a question about identity. Who am I? And 23andMe and Ancestry.com, they have taglines on their websites that say things like, welcome to you. Or you know, I think another one said, find out what you're made of. You know, and they are literally kind of telling you that. They're analyzing your DNA. It's really cool. And so, but this promise, like, we're going to show you who you are, this claim to answer the question, our question, who am I, it's only partially true. It's only part of the picture. There's a greater reality to who you are and to who I am. And, you know, it's interesting, too. When you're going through the process to sign up, you have to check some pretty serious boxes that say things like, you may not like what you find when we do your test results. You cannot unsee what you're going to see. Click here. And there's some people have found out some really interesting things about their families, and they don't, like 23andMe doesn't want to be in trouble for spilling the beans or whatever the family secrets were. And it's just kind of crazy what you have to check, but and it kind of makes you pause for a brief moment, and you're like, what are you trying to say? Like, don't talk about my family like that. Why are you judging me? You know, you kind of start feeling these, like, these kind of emotions. But the simple fact is this. There's brokenness in the human family across the board. There's brokenness in the human story. And that affects every family, every person. And there's things in every person's past that they aren't proud of. But see, we're only talking about natural DNA with these tests. You see the title here, 23 in the Kingdom, your supernatural DNA. Something has happened to every believer that has put their faith and trust in Jesus that is so profound and so supernatural. It has altered your life in a way that the Bible describes you now as a new creation. That the old has passed away. It's not that you have no memory. It's not that you have no connection to it. But the old has passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And I think it's round about time that we started embracing that in a deeper way and living in the power of that truth in a greater way, because there's an eternal reality about your DNA that's supernatural and not just according to your natural family tree. It's an amazing thing. The eternal reality for the believer is that you are, as I mentioned a moment ago, you are a new creation. You are a child of God. You are, as a result of that, an ambassador of God's kingdom. And basically this morning, I want to remind us of those things, and I want to talk for a few moments about those things before we come to communion today. Because beyond 23andMe, inside cover of your notes now, beyond 23andMe, beyond Ancestry.com, the Holy Spirit desires to show you who you are in Christ. The Father wants to bring you into a greater level of belonging in His family, and Jesus has purpose to lead you into the inheritance that is yours in Him. The Scripture says that if we are children of God, then we are joint heirs with Christ. What belongs to Him belongs to you. That's just mind-blowing. It's amazing. It's incredible. And we need to remember. So these are part of what we want to journey through a little bit this morning. And the first point I want to dig into is that your kingdom family history, when we're talking about your kingdom family history, your family tree, we need to know that you've been supernaturally born. You've been supernaturally born into the family of God. You've been supernaturally born into the family of God. What does that mean? That means, like, on your family, in your family lineage, when you read stories in the Bible of incredible acts of faith and breakthrough and overcoming and people going through things and God showing up and encountering them and changing their lives, when you look at those faith stories, you need to know those faith stories are your family stories. That's your family history, because you've been grafted in to the family of God supernaturally. Like, when you're looking back and say, man, I wish I had some cool people in my DNA. I wish I was Moroccan or Native American, whatever, like I was saying. You know what? When you can look back in the Scripture and realize, I have incredible heroes of faith, women and men that with God saw great things happen. That's in my DNA. That's in my heritage. That's something that's passed down to me. There's traits that I see in Scripture. As I look, the Bible says, we look in a glass. We're looking at the word of the Lord. James chapter 1, verse 25 talks about this. Be hearers of the word, not just doers. That's verse 22. And it goes on to say, those that are hearers but not doers, it's like they look in the mirror. That's the mirror of God's word. But they walk away and forget what kind of person they were. What's he saying? He's saying when you look in the word, you see who you are. You see your story. You see your DNA. You see who God created you to be. You see something supernatural about yourself, not just the natural side, not just the weakness. You see the gold and not just the dirt. You start to see who God has called you to be, created you to be, is making you to be by His Spirit. It happens as we look in to the word. It shows us what it looks like to be a new creation, reconciled to God. living in relationship with Him. It shows you that your spiritual genetics, your spiritual family tree starts with Jesus. Christ in you and you in Christ. Yes, all those things I said about the other heroes of faith, they're connected as well. But it all comes down to this focal point of Jesus. It all comes down to Christ. And it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." This is saying that there is a BC and an AD in your life. There was a moment in human history, in modern, that we count, that we get our modern Gregorian calendar from, and it's the birth of Christ, that it changed history, that everything before that is before Christ, and everything after that is the year of our Lord. It's counted from what Jesus did, because even human history acknowledges in much of the world that what Jesus did changed the planet forever. And there's something about how that looks to us personally. There's a timeline of your life. There's a chronology of your life from birth until death or until the Lord returns, that there's these moments that God has ordained and God has planned. But if you look on the timeline of your life, the moment that you said yes to Jesus, there is a, not a family tree, but there is that old rugged cross. There is that tree that Jesus died on that is planted on the timeline of your life. And before that is before Christ, but after that is new creation. Before that is I once was. After that is but now I am. There's something that's totally different in your life. You're supernaturally born into the family of God and you're never the same. If you were to take a spiritual 23andMe, you'd find that you are a direct descendant of Jesus. And it wouldn't be some little sliver of DNA like my 1,064 ancestors that I share 0.65% with. It's going to show that your spiritual DNA is 100%. You are a new creation. Not partial, not a little bit, not kind of like the ghetto package, but the full package. The whole thing. All right. John 1, verse 12 and 13 says, "As many as received Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of Father God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man." But how are they born? They were born of God. Whatever's born of God overcomes the world. When you receive Jesus, you receive the power to become like Jesus and take on his nature and be progressively transformed to a mature son or daughter of the Most High God. And that's referring to the new birth, not the natural birth. And that's why Christianity is so much more than just about rules. The word gives us commands, yes, but the real power of following Jesus is a transformed life where now your want to has changed and you're not just trying to check a bunch of boxes. You are in relationship with the living God, transformed by the living God, and now you are naturally doing what the Bible commands and you want to do it because you're a new creation. It's your new tendency. It's your new DNA. You have royalty. You have royal blood that's inside of your life now. It's supernatural. It's of the Father. And it's just so important this morning when we come to the Lord's table and we drink this cup and we eat this bread that we're reminded of the power of what has happened in our lives because of Jesus and because of his cross. It's a true new beginning. I think about this becoming power, and I've told you guys stories of this and shared some fun testimonies. Basically, every testimony is some version of being shocked by our own responses after coming to the Lord. Like, I came to the Lord, I was in some situation, and something different came out of me than I expected. What? Who am I? You're a new creation. That's what you are. When we get wronged, we have a desire to respond with forgiveness instead of anger. And it's like, where did that come from? Where on earth did that come from? And it didn't come from earth. It came from heaven. On earth, as it is in heaven. Something that you've been born from above, born from heaven. It came as a result of the Father, as a result of the new DNA. You know, sometimes in the natural, when we have a certain talent or possibly a certain weakness, we say things like, well, it's just in my blood. I got that. One of my parents did that. Sometimes Rachel and I, we joke about it. We see something good in the kids. Oh, they got that from me. Something bad in the kids. Oh, you're that's from your mother. You know, it's a joke. We're not, or that's from your dad. You taking after him? You know, we joke around like that, but isn't it amazing how there are certain things like that are passed down from parents? And we're talking about even things that are gifts. And it's just an awesome thing. But here's the deal. We need to talk about what's in the blood of Jesus. We're talking about, hey, well, it's in my blood. Listen, what's in the blood of Jesus? Because that's your new bloodline. Let's talk about the tendencies and the graces and the power that is in that new DNA. Born again, children of God, your spiritual genetics. In your spiritual genetics, there's faith in the face of obstacles, faith that overcomes. In your spiritual genetics, there's love beyond limits, love that there's no reason to love. It's not a response. You're not loving back. It's just something that comes from above, and it's flowing through you. It's the love of God that has no bounds, that, you know, the height, the depth, that can't be measured. In your DNA is forgiving as Christ has forgiven you and overcoming evil with good. In your DNA is healing and miracles. And it's not that you're in denial about natural laws and the laws of physics and how things work on the planet that we live in the natural world. It's that you are aware of an even greater reality than this created natural world. You're aware of the power of a supernatural, uncreated God who is at work in our world, and you're anchored to that reality. And it's not like you're in denial about the situation around you, but it's that you're connected to Him and you just see things different and act different. And there's miracles and there's healing in your DNA released through you because of who you know and who you're with and who you are. All of that's tied together in your family history, in your family story, and your spiritual genetics. The second point I want to get into this morning a bit is your family, your kingdom family culture. You know, you belong to a new family, and that family has a specific culture. I'm not even just talking about our church culture. I'm talking about kingdom culture. And our prayer in our heart is that New Life Church would increasingly just live in and model and grow in kingdom culture. And I believe that we're well on our way, and I'm excited about that. There's something so important about a culture. Culture, you know, there's a lot of different definitions. One simple one is that culture is the attitudes and behavior characteristic of a particular group. It's kind of what sums them up. You know, every family has traditions and customs. Culture is like the way you do things. And it's the way you do things without even thinking about the way you're doing things. In fact, if it's bad culture or unhealthy culture, you have to be really intentional about recognizing what's not healthy and repenting and changing it. Okay, and being renewed, to put off, be renewed, and put on. You've got to be real specific about culture, whether it's the culture of your own heart, culture of your family, culture of a church, a city, a nation. There has to be really specific things, real intentionality in that regard. So as a supernaturalized citizen of God's kingdom, there are things that are normal to you because of your spiritual DNA and because of the culture of heaven. So there's the spiritual DNA, and there's also the culture. The DNA is what is like, what I would say is like DNA is what's born into you when you're born again. Culture is like what you learn as you grow, as you develop, as you learn to walk with the Lord. There's a process to growing in culture. And in culture, it's not even just things that are taught, it's things that are caught, right? It's like, it's something that you just sort of begin to absorb in the culture. And I really believe that this is a year for kingdom culture to be strengthened in our lives and families and church family. I was really just blasted by the verse that Pastor Isaac shared. That was a great message last week, Pastor Isaac. Man, that was so much fun to have you share. And he shared this verse out of Ephesians 5, verse 8. And I wanted to revisit that for a moment. It says in Ephesians 5, 8, "For once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." Once you were, but now you are. Everyone say, once I was, now I am. Walk as children of light. And then the Amplified says, live as those who are native born to the light. Excuse me. Live as those who are native born to the light. In other words, what this is telling us, when we're born again, we're not just immigrating into the kingdom. The kingdom is born into us, and we're a new creation. We're native born. Isaac told some really, really wonderful immigration stories and like all of that process, and really appreciated your authenticity with that. I know a lot of us relate, a lot of people in our house relate to that. I even had an experience like, I lived in my junior high years on the Navajo Nation, and I was the only like Caucasian boy in my class. I experienced a little tiny taste of what you're talking about, not the full package, but a little taste of kind of being an outsider and learning like a new culture. And I really appreciated that experience. I really wish that every single like American, as a part of our education, had to live like a year overseas somewhere. I just think it really opens your eyes to the world and how things work in other cultures, and just appreciating the beauty of the world around us. All of that said, when we talk about being native born, we're realizing here there's some things that are DNA, some things that are learned. And as you repent and grow and develop in God's kingdom, basically your lifestyle is catching up to and aligning with the DNA that's already inside of you. So when you repent and there's something learned, there's something that develops in your life, there's culture that you embrace of the kingdom, what's happening is that's actually aligning with who you are in your new birth. And it's like, wow, that feels amazing. This is what I was born for. You're stepping in to something. You're stepping into an alignment. Here's what we need to understand. No matter where you're from and whatever your 23andMe chart says or anything, we're going to set all that aside for a moment and talk about being born from above, being native born to the light. Listen, that means that living here on this planet is a cross-cultural experience. You may have you may have been born in Nevada Community Hospital and never moved out of this town. And like, you are Nevada through and through. That's like Eric Lucan. I don't see him in the service, but he's like, it doesn't matter if that's you. You are still living in a cross-cultural experience. It's like, even the Bible says that we're foreigners here. And as a foreigner, you come from a place with another culture, another set of values, totally different characteristics. Listen, we're talking about the culture of heaven. Your citizenship is there. Your birth certificate is there. It's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the day you were born. Your citizenship is there. Your address is there. Your passport is from there. You're from another kingdom, another world. You're native born of heaven. You're native born to the light when you become a believer in Jesus Christ. And that's why you can be with believers from another country that speak another language, that wear clothes that you've never seen or never would personally wear, that eat food that you can't tolerate because it's so spicy or so weird. You can sit down with those people and in a moment feel instantly like family because you are both born and both from another kingdom. You're maybe on this secondary cultural level plane that we all have a lot of difference and diversity in. Maybe in that realm, you're like, yeah, I don't get it. But you can sit down and connect in the spirit and instantly be with family. No matter where you are in the world. I've experienced this in like 20 or 30 nations personally. Instant. Like family reunion. Like you're with brothers and sisters that you've known your whole life and you are 100% at home. It's amazing. It's because you're native born. Even if you can't speak the same language and you're speaking with an interpreter, love is the language of the heart. You know, I believe that when God speaks, he speaks in spirit and our mind translates it into words. I really believe that. That's my own theory. But listen, there's a way that even though language is different, your heart still resonates with the communication you have with each other. That you understand things after the Spirit. It's an amazing thing. I've experienced it, like I said, many, many times. And you're with family. But here's what I want to get into a little bit before we wrap up today. You're not just here as a foreigner, kind of like, well, I'm just going to like roam through this planet and, you know, leave no trace. Like Yosemite, you know. Leave no trace. There's some things that is good, like creation care and stuff. It's good in stewardship. Leave no trace. But look, your life is supposed to leave a trace. You are not just a foreigner. You are an ambassador of God's kingdom here on this planet. The church is an embassy, and you are an ambassador. An ambassador carries out diplomatic relations. An ambassador connects with the community and country they are in on behalf of the country they are from. You guys catch that? They connect with the community that they are in on behalf of the country that they are from. Let's read 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21. We've already read verse 17 about being a new creation. I'm going to move on to verse 18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So we see a lot of things in this verse already. We see that we're new creations. He's given us a ministry of reconciliation. He's committed to us a word of reconciliation. In verse 20, it says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf as his representatives. Ambassadors represent the kingdom they are from to the community that they are in. We're representing Christ to the world around us as ambassadors. That's the assignment. That's an amazing privilege, and it's an amazing task. And the word that we're pleading on his behalf is be reconciled to God. Be reconnected. Be restored to him. Be forgiven. Let two become one. Let everything that is between you that he's already paid the price to remove, let it be removed and be reconciled to him. Be at peace with God. Verse 21, for he made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's talking about that supernatural new birth. So as an ambassador, we're a new creation with a specific assignment to represent the king. And you know what? An ambassador has authority to conduct business on behalf of the country that sent them. It's not just that you're representing, but you have actual authority to do business in the name of that country. Jesus said, I need to be about my father's business when he was talking to his parents, and he's getting this figured out as a young adult. It's like you've been given, he was discovering, we have authority to carry out the business of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords on this planet. It's we're not just kind of here, we're actually commissioned, and there's a difference. So do people know where you're from? Or is it impossible to tell? Now, I'm not saying, if we were having this conversation the other day in our car, Rachel or one of the kids brought it up, and they were saying, man, it is a serious thing to put like a dove or a Jesus sticker on your car. You better be a really good driver. Because you don't want to like misrepresent him to the people behind you, okay? And we're, you know, having, just kind of joking around about that in a sense. But at the same time, people that know you well, I don't mean just people that you walk past that you don't have any connection or conversation with, but people that get to know you should be able to tell that you're different, should be able to tell that you have an accent that's different than this world. That you there's cultural things about you, the way that you carry yourself. There's a love, there's an atmosphere, there's an environment that you carry. There's a presence that you carry, there's an energy that you have. Whatever language and whatever words they use, people should be able to tell that there's something different, something unique, that you speak with an accent that's not of this world. Jesus said, if I was from this world, my servants would fight. My kingdom's not from here. Like he was giving Pilate a lesson in culture right then and there, saying, Pilate, the way you're thinking this is going to go down, it's not going to go down because my kingdom's totally different than the kingdom you're envisioning. And right there, Pilate like stepped back and understood, uh-oh, who am I dealing with here? You know, in missions, in a missionary training and materials, they talk about two extremes, and the one extreme is to go native, to become so absorbed in the culture that you lose your original identity. The other one is to be isolated, to be so kind of like circle the wagons and separate from, that you have no connection to the world around you. The Bible teaches us that we are to be in the world, but not of the world. Not isolated and irrelevant and disconnected, and not like going native. You can't go native if you've already been native born. Been native born of heaven, you can't like go native with the ways of the world. It's not a good look on you or me. It doesn't work that way. We're in it, but not of it. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, a well-known verse, reading from the Message, it says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. In other words, if you keep your eyes fixed on him, remembering who you are, you're going to be importing a culture into the environment that's different than exists there. It's going to be elevating. It's going to be transforming. It's going to be like heaven invading the earth. It's going to be on earth as it is in heaven. That's the assignment. So I'm going to invite the worship team to come this morning. And I want you and myself, I want all of us as a family, as a church family, to be reminded today of our spiritual genetics. To be reminded today of the power of what has transpired on the cross and the new covenant that you've embraced in your life as we come to this table this morning. We're going to remember what Jesus has done, but we also remember who we are in him. Children of God, native born, belonging to his family, sons and daughters with a powerful inheritance. Ephesians 2:19 says, so you are not foreigners or guests, but rather you are the children of the city of the holy ones with all the rights as family members of the household of God. It's talking about that heavenly citizenship. So let's take a moment to pray over this word and before we come to the table today. We thank you, Lord, for your word today. I pray that every one of us would be stirred up by way of remembrance. We'd be stirred up remembering who you are and who we are, who I am in you. Lord, I thank you that there is a cancellation of shame and a cancellation of the past because of the blood of Jesus. I thank you that there is a cancellation of the lie of not belonging because we're family with a new bloodline. Lord, I pray today for a revelation of the authority that each of us have in you and the assignment that we've been given to represent your kingdom. And Lord, we just come back to this simplicity today. That it's all because of your presence, that your blood has taken the distance away, that we can come into your presence, we can abide in you, remain with you, fellowship with you, and have communion with you because of the blood. That we're connected to each other in communion because of the blood. I thank you for it today, Lord.